आत्मजय सह कृष्णया
प्रणायाभिमुखं कृष्णम्
इदम् आह प्रकाशति
ब्रह्मतेजो विनिर्मुक्तये
आत्मजय सह कृष्णया
प्रयाणाभिमुखं कृष्णम्
इदम् आह प्रकाशति
ब्रह्मतेजो विनिर्मुक्तये
आत्मजय सह कृष्णया
प्रयाणाभिमुखं कृष्णम्
इदम् आह प्रकाशति
ब्रह्म तेजो विनिर्मुक्ते
आत्मजय सह कृष्णया
प्रयाणाभिमुखं कृष्णम्
इदम् आह प्रकाशति
ब्रह्म तेजो विनिर्मुक्ते
आत्मजय सह कृष्णया
प्रयाणाभिमुखं कृष्णम्
इदम् आह प्रकाशति
ब्रह्म तेजो विनिर्मुक्ते
आत्मजय सह कृष्णया
प्रयाणाभिमुखं कृष्णम्
इदम् आह प्रकाशति
ब्रह्मतेजः
the radiation of the Brahmastra
being saved from
Atmajay
along with her son
with
Krishnaya
Draupadi
Pranayana
outgoing
Abhimukham
words
Krishnam
unto Lord Krishna
Kunti, Sati, devoted to the Lord.
Translation and purport of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shatrupadhi.
Jai.
Please repeat the translation.
Thus saved
from the radiation
of the Brahmastra
Kunti,
the chaste devotee of the Lord
and her five sons
and Draupadi
address Lord Krishna
as he started for home.
Please hear the purport. Kunti is described herein as Sati or chaste due to her unalloyed devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Her mind will now be expressed in the following prayers for Lord Krishna. A chaste devotee of the Lord does not look to others, namely any other living being or demigod, even for deliverance from danger. That was all along the characteristic of the whole family of the Pandavas. They knew nothing except Krishna, and therefore the Lord was also always ready to help them in all respects and in all circumstances. That is the transcendental nature of the Lord. He reciprocates the dependence of the devotee. One should not therefore look for help from imperfect living beings or demigods. But one should look for all help from Lord Krishna, who is competent to save his devotees. Such a chaste devotee also never asks the Lord for help, but the Lord, out of his own accord, is always anxious to benefit. Very beautiful perspective. Om Ajnana Timirandasya
Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Pradhamayam Dara
Vandeyam Shri Guru, Shri Yukta-Kapalam, Shri Vivu-Vaishnavamsa, Shri Rupam Savrajatam, Sahagana-Gunatavitam-Dapsa-Jeevam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Krishna-Savitam Krishna-Chaitanya-Devam, Shri Raha Krishna-Naga, Sahagana-Valita-Shri-Vishakhanitamsa, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapatanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hariye, Namo Mahavaranyaya, Krishna Prema Pradaye, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Hore Krishna. Vancha Kalpataru Vescha, Kripasi Sindhu Vivecha, Vajita Namahari Vyo, Vaishna Vyo Namo Nama. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Adita Gadadara, Sri Srinivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Vrinda Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jai.
So we're very happy today to be gathered.
Thank you, Navagaura Prabhu, for having us all over. And thank you very much to Drishti Mataji also.
It's nice to see your parents here. We're very happy to see them. And of course, the reason why we're all here is because of Lavini. She is the reason. She gives us a reason to hear Bhagavatam. And now she has turned one. See how fast time has flown. So, time normally is not the friend of anyone. But when time is used for Krishna, it actually becomes our best friend. And the best way Srila Prabhupada taught us by his life is to use time always in the service of Krishna. And to use it in the service of Krishna is to follow in the footsteps of great devotees like Kunti Mata. And the reason why Kunti Mata is adored and revered and respected and studied as an example of great devotion by devotees for thousands and thousands of years is because of her chaste devotional service. So this verse is very nice because this is the last verse before Kunti Mata chants a beautiful praise. But the last verse before each prayer in Bhagavatam is actually very important. Because if you read each verse before the prayer starts, you'll find that Prabhupada actually frames the mood of the devotee before the devotee speaks the prayers. You go through all the prayers of Bhagavatam and you'll find the verse before the devotee speaks, Prabhupada is framing the mood of the devotee. And when the prayers are finished, you must also read the next 2-3 verses. Because very often after the prayers are sung, the Lord replies. And Lord's reply to the prayer makes the prayers complete. So sometimes when we read the prayers and we forget to read what Lord said after prayer, we don't get the full gist of the devotion. This is a very important point. Even though here the verse is about Kunti Mata, the episode before that is about Uttara. And you all know that Uttara had within her womb Parikshit Maharaj. And I was thinking, what verse should we take? Should we take some verse about a child? And then, you know, Bhagavatam has this way. You close the book and you open the book. And this verse came, you see. So I thought there must be some reason why Krishna wants this verse. And it is very nice. Because how Parikshit Maharaj has been protected by Krishna is actually the result of the chastity of devotional service given by Kunti Mata, the Pandavas, and all the descendants, Uttara included. So this is an important point for us to be here. Kunti is actually stated here as Sati. And Sati, Prabhupada makes it a point to tell us, means chaste. She is chaste because Bhagavatam tells us, and Prabhupada writes here, that she had no one else in her heart except Krishna. This is the meaning of chastity. In material world, a lady or a man is considered chaste in marriage when in their hearts they have no one else except their husbands or wives. Their eyes are not meant for seeing anyone else. Even if they have difficulties, even if they have differences in thinking, whatever may be there, but even then, their heart is always with the chosen. This is the meaning of chastity. So actually, in the material world, chastity is coming from spiritual world, because everything is coming from spiritual world. So real chastity is our chastity to Krishna. This is very important. Kunti Mata's devotion is considered as unalloyed. Prabhupada was in America when he passed by in Butler. He passed by all these factories, you know, hard and heavy industries. And there he saw the word unalloyed. And it was in reference to metal. So Prabhupada asked someone he was with what unalloyed means. And they said that means this metal is pure. It has no, there is no mixture. And Prabhupada said this is the meaning of devotional service. And that's how Prabhupada used unalloyed. If you try doing a search on unalloyed in Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's books, I don't know how many thousands of times Prabhupada used the word unalloyed. It's one of his most favorite words to describe chaste devotional service. And it's very simple. Because metal, which does not have any trace of any other metal or any other mineral or any other matter, that matter is known as unalloyed. So Prabhupada is insisting that devotees in the movement must actually approach devotional service in an unalloyed manner. Unalloyed also means unflinching. Unflinching is what Kunti Mata was. Flinching means if I throw a stone at someone, you flinch, isn't it? But unflinching means I throw the stone at someone, but he just stands there. And even when it comes, he doesn't flinch. The devotional service of Kunti Mata was like that too. It was unflinching. Why? Because in 241 of Bhagavad Gita, it is very nicely stated that Kunti Mata's devotional service is known as Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Ekeha Guru Nanda. In other words, she had only eyes for Krishna. Otherwise, Kunti Mata should be depending on the five Pandavas, because they were the most powerful warriors of that time. They were great devotees. But she did not depend on her own sons. She could not depend on her husband because her husband had passed on. So Kunti Mata actually had no one to depend on. But even though her great sons were powerful and fully capable of protecting her, even then, we know that Kunti Mata never depended on the five Pandavas. Never. This is known as unflinching devotional service. That's why Vyavasayatmika Buddhi means chaste. It means we don't see anyone else. And that means Ekeha Guru Nandana. But for those, the Gita tells us, but for those whose determination is not resolute to only be with Krishna, then what happens? This mind, you know, has this very funny way of distracting us. Sometimes when we come to devotional service, we come with a baggage. And in this baggage, we also put devotional service. Instead of dropping the baggage at the door, we bring the baggage into devotional service. And then we make devotional service move around the baggage, and not the other way around. When Prabhupada came to the US, he did not compromise on his dressing. He didn't compromise on the foundations of the Vaishnava Acharya principles. And because he never compromised, his purity became the force that changed the hearts of everyone. So the moment we start compromising on the foundational principles of devotional service, then on that time you will find that the devotional service becomes mixed. Then it doesn't become Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And that's why Kunti Mata was unflinching. Because despite all the difficulties, there was so much difficulties, isn't it, that the Pandavas and her faced. In fact, Bhishma Dev, before he left this world, he was actually on the bed of arrows. And if you remember in the first canto, 9th chapter, I think it was 15th or 16th verse, yesterday we were saying that verse, so important. Bhishma Dev looked at the Pandavas and Kunti Mata, and even though Bhishma Dev suffered so much in his life, he thought, no, actually, Kunti Mata suffered more than I did either. That's why he stated nicely, Aho kastam, aho anyayam, yadyuyam, dharma nandana. You were all sons of religion, and yet, how much suffering and how much difficulty you have to endure. Aho kastam is suffering. Anyayam means injustice. It means injustice. That means those who take up devotional service, they must be prepared to suffer injustices in this material world. Why? Not because you took up devotional service, but because the nature of the material world is that it is full of injustice. this is the meaning of dharma. Dharma simply means that if you accept that the dharma of fire is to burn, the dharma of water is to flow, then the dharma of this material world is to give you injustice. It is to give you material anxiety. It is surprising, Prabhus and Matajis, if we don't suffer in the material world. This is the way to become free. Those who are free are those who accept the nature of this material world. Those who cannot accept the material world's nature, then they are not dharmic. Dharma means that you accept the nature of this material world, and after having accepted it, you move on. Na chale marga. That means, tad vidvan. Those who know the nature of this material world, they are not bewildered. And the bhakti marga path that they take, they are not deviated from that path. This is very important. Otherwise, what happens is, when we come to devotional service, we have material expectations. And when we have material expectations, the mind creates more material expectations. We also have material desires, and we want those material desires to be fulfilled through devotional service. When that happens, the matter is fixed. Then it becomes not unalloyed. It becomes alloyed. Then we go hither and thither. But we don't realize that the foundational principles of devotional service is what protects us. Aho kastam aho anyayam. And he says, not only was there injustice, but it was done to yad yuyam dharmanandanaha. It was inflicted on those who are religion personified, sons of religion. But then he also said something. Jeevitum na artha. Na artha means you did not deserve. Jeevitum na artha klishtam. You did not deserve these injustices, and yet you have to do it. There you go. Very nice point. This is the point that we have to understand to become chaste in devotional service. Sometimes when we are in difficulty, we say, I don't deserve this. And this is also an artha. It is an artha. It is an acquisition. Our wealth, we think, is, I don't deserve to suffer. But if you're born into this material world, you have a material body, this material body cannot give you happiness. It can only give you difficulty. So, actually, between Bhishma Dev describes the chastity of Kunti Mata. And he says, actually, that even though you did not deserve these injustices, even though you were sons of religion personified, yet you had to suffer. So what Bhishma Dev is telling us is that when we take up devotional service thinking that the sufferings will go, that is not unalloyed devotional service. This we should accept. When we take up devotional service and create material expectations, that is not unalloyed devotional service. When we take up devotional service and we impose our thoughts on devotional processes, that is also not devotional service. Then it becomes speculative. It becomes what we call mixed devotional service. Then we perform devotional service in the mode of passion, ignorance, or goodness. Those who are passionate, what happens is, as Kapila Dev says in the third canto, those who become passionate, they see Krishna in the deity form, but they cannot see Krishna in the hearts of the devotees. They become separatists in mentality. The whole point of devotional service is to obey the acharyas and follow in the footsteps of the devotees. But they take their own footsteps. They want to do their own things. This is passion. And this is devotional service, but Kapila Dev says it is in the mode of passion. Those who are in the mode of ignorance, they become envious of others when they take up devotional service. They see a devotee doing very nice. They become angry with the devotee. Why? Because they want to find the fault, but they can't find the fault. So what they do is they poke here and poke there. This poking is also a symptom of Kali Yuga. Supposing I come and tell you, Prabhu, you know, why are you doing this? You know, and you say, I don't know why. Oh, because this Prabhu told me, you know, that this is not right. So now you start thinking, oh, why did he say that? Why did he say this? This is provocation. When this exists, this is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Because it is born out of envy. It is born out of criticism. We come to the programs only to find the faults. Why this is like that? Why this is like that? This is not bhakti. If you want to be jnani, you find fault. In jnani yoga, it is a system for you to find fault. In the sense that you are scrutinizing and analyzing. But in Kunti Mata's prayers and in two verses before this, and I will read to you the purport. you will find that Krishna is never bothered so much about the rules that he himself makes. He is bothered about whether he can serve the devotees. That is more important. He is not a strict moralist, but he is Bhakta Vatsa. He is highly affectionate to the devotees. So Kunti Mata very nicely is actually stated by Bhishma Dev that you were put in so much injustice, so much difficulty, yet you were actually personified sons and daughters of religion, but even then you suffered so much. But why is it that you are still unalloyed in devotional service? This is an important point. He says you are unalloyed in devotional service because Vipra, Dharma, Achutya, Ashraya. Vipra, Dharma, Achutya, Ashraya. He says because you always have taken the shelter of three things. You have taken the shelter of Brahmanas. That means the devotees and Vedic culture. Kunti Mata never moved away from Vedic culture. Vedic culture, the essence of Vedic culture is to know Krishna. If Vedic culture means everything else and you forget Krishna, that's not Vedic culture. The essence of Vedic culture is that you know Krishna is supreme and that you are always eternally the servant of the servant of the servant. So Kunti Mata never forgot that, whether she was in the forest or whether she was in the palace. This is chastity. It doesn't matter where we are, but devotional service can be executed in any condition. Any condition. You do not need to create an atmosphere to perform devotional service. Devotional service creates its own atmosphere to perform devotional service. We do not have to create a strategy to perform devotional service. Devotional service creates its own strategy to attract devotees. This is a very important point. So that is why he says, Vipra. The second thing that protects us when we take up chaste devotional service is Dharma. And Dharma means Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo. This is the root meaning of Dharma. So many meanings of Dharma are given, but we should take what Prabhupada has given. Very simply, Prabhupada has stated in the first canto, second chapter, and in those verses, in the verse of Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo, even in the second verse of the first chapter of Bhagavatam, right? Dharma Prochita Kaitava Atra Paramo. If you read the purport, Prabhupada defines Dharma very simply. He says Dharma means occupation. Full stop. That's it. In other words, we may have so many duties and occupations, but ultimately we are born for only one duty. And that duty is to become servant of the servant of the servant. That duty is to ultimately obey all the injunctions of Krishna, the Acharyas, and our spiritual masters. That is our Dharma. As long as we follow that, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, then we understand Yathor Bhaktir Adhor Sujay. That is the main point, that we render devotional service unto Krishna. And if we want to be chaste, this devotional service must be on two pillars. It must be Ahai Tuki. There is no motivation when we perform the devotional service except to glorify Krishna and the Vaishnavas. That's all. Nothing else is needed. As long as someone wants to glorify Krishna and he wants to spread the name of the Lord, then Krishna, Pravishya Chittam Vinunoti Ashesham, 12:12:48. Krishna comes into the heart of the devotee who glorifies him. Sankirtya Mano, those who are always chanting the glories of Krishna, Krishna enters into their hearts, Pravishya Chittam, personally. And what does he do? He cleanses the heart of that devotee of all traces of misfortune. See, it is a simple process. Kunti Mata did not have any misfortune. People think externally Kunti Mata had the greatest misfortune. She was a queen, the Pandavas were actually supposed to be the kings. How much misfortune they had. But that was not misfortune. The misfortune was actually Duryodhan. Duryodhan was misfortune personified. Why? Because he did not take shelter of Vipra. He did not take shelter of Paro Dharmo. And the third, he did not take shelter of Achyuta. He did not. He took the shelter, he did not take shelter of Krishna. But he wanted Krishna's energies. He went to Dwarka Dham, and at the same time Arjuna also came, and they both sat down to ask something of Krishna. Because Krishna said, in the war I'm neutral, huh? I've taken a vow, no taking up weapons. So either you get me as charioteer, or you get my vast armies. Duryodhana was hoping I'll get the vast armies. The armies are nothing but energies of the Lord. They are his property. Krishna was lying down and sleeping. And Arjuna made sure that he sat at the lotus feet of the Lord. Why? Because that is his proper dharma. His dharma is to be at the lotus feet of the Lord. Our dharma is to be at the lotus feet of devotees. Then we are properly situated. That is vipra and that is dharma. And then what happened? When Krishna awoke, Duryodhana was seated strategically next to Krishna. Strategically because he thought, I'm nearest to him. We always think if we are nearest to someone's head, they can hear us first, you know. But we don't realize Vaishnavas are not interested on who's sitting next to them. They are more interested to see who's wanting to take mercy at their lotus feet. And therefore, when Krishna opened his eyes, the first person he saw was Arjuna. But the first person who spoke was Duryodhana. So Duryodhana said that I should actually ask first. Because I came first and I was sitting next to you. But Krishna countered that. Because he said, our dharma is such that actually those who are younger, they should be given a chance first. So he could not dispute that. Because Krishna is the originator of all dharma. So he had to hear. So he thought, now I'm finished. But again, see, Arjuna said, I only want you, Krishna. And Duryodhana thought, today I will go back and victory is certain. This was the thinking of Duryodhana. And then Krishna turns to Arjuna and says, why did you not ask for my armies? And Arjuna was very simple. He said, what is the use of all the energy without the one who possesses the energy? Such a nice point. All this in our house is all the energy of the Lord. If we possess all this and think they belong to us without understanding that they belong to the source, the one who is the energetic, then of what value it is? This is very important. So this is the reason why Kunti Mata was chaste. In all her difficulty, her fortune was she saw the hand of Krishna. In all Duryodhana's planning, his misfortune was he did not see the plan of Krishna. Not only did not see the plan of Krishna, he did not want to follow the plan of Krishna. But Kunti Mata was ready always to follow the plan of Krishna. That's why later she says, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Srivir, Edamana Madaha Kuman, Naivarhati Abhidhatumvai, Tomakin Janagochara. She says that those who are materially impoverished, not meaning that we have nothing on us, but meaning that everything we have is not ours to keep, but should be used for Krishna, then this high birth, this parentage, this opulence, this wealth, this beauty, this education, if we are trapped and if we are uncontrolled in using them for our service, then what happens? Naivarhati, we don't deserve. Abhidhatu, we do not deserve to see you, Krishna. Only those who are chaste in devotional service, they can see Krishna. When we say see Krishna, that means they can see the hand of Krishna in all and every aspect of their life. This is very important. That is why devotees like Kunti Mata are described as unalloyed and they are unflinching. They are unflinching. So this point that Bhishmadev brought up is so important. And in the purport, you know, to that verse of 1.9.12, Srila Prabhupada makes an important point. He says that as long as a person is fully in cooperation with the wishes of the Lord, guided by bona fide brahmanas and vaishnavas, and strictly following the regulative principles, then what does he say? One has no cause for despondency. We do not have to feel despondent when something bad happens. We don't. Why? Because however trying the circumstances are, we see the hand of Krishna. This is the chastity of Kunti Mata. So this point is very important. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, while 241 tells us Vyavasayatmika Buddhi means one who is chaste, in 244, Krishna then warns Arjuna. He says, for those who are too much attached to the material opulence, Bhoga Aishwarya, isn't it? Bhoga Aishwarya Prasattanam. Those who are too much attached to material opulence and those who are too much attached to sense enjoyment. If we just want to enjoy our senses and keep it separate from Krishna, then what happens to them? The resolute determination of devotional service cannot take root in their hearts. So what will happen is, we will drop our devotional practices and we will fill our time in the guise of devotional service with other activities. And these other activities have no direct link with the unalloyed devotion that Srila Prabhupada has given us. This is very important. Very, very important. So whether we do book distribution, whether we do prasadam distribution, whether we do altar forum, whether we do any form of Krishna conscious preaching, in our minds and our hearts we should remember always one thing. Why we are doing it. And who we are doing it for. If we have even a trace that I am doing this because actually, you know what, I actually like it. But what to do? I couldn't do it outside, you know. But now Krishna consciousness gives me a chance, so I'll do it. Then bhakti must become mixed. Because then you are following your dharma. You are not following swadharma. This is important point. It is subtle, but it is very important. And that is why Kunti Mata is considered so great. And if you read 7th canto, 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, I think it is the 19th chapter, it is very nicely stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Balasya neham sharanam pitarau narsingham nartasya chagatam udanvati mujato nahuhu praptasya tatva dividiya nihanjasheshtas tavad vibho tanubritam tvarupekshitanam. The meaning is very important. It is linked to this verse. There, Prahlad Maharaj, he says nicely, because of the bodily concept of life, what happens? Embodied souls who are neglected or not cared for you, or not cared for by you, those who are neglected by Krishna, and those who are not cared for by Krishna, they cannot do anything for their improvement. This is important. We think on our own we can improve our lives, but we don't realize that until we have the blessings of and sanction of Krishna, we cannot improve our devotional service. On our own we can try very hard, but until Krishna blesses us, until the Vaishnavas bless us, it is very difficult to make progress. It's the same with initiation. Before we took initiation, we were largely flying our own ships or flying our own planes and moving our own ships. But you realize that the day you take initiation and the day the spiritual master accepts you in his heart and the day you follow his instructions 100%, you'll find, according to Sastras, and Prabhupada repeats this many times, that immediately one's spiritual life becomes revived. It becomes revived. So it is a fact that until and unless we are not neglected by the Lord, we are not thrown away by the Lord, we cannot actually make our own improvement in life. You may ask, the Lord never neglects us. The point is, Krishna never neglects us. But very often we neglect him. Duryodhana neglected Krishna's advice. Duryodhana neglected all the great Vaishnavas like Bhishma Dev, Vidur. He neglected all of them. And those who neglect them, then what happens to them is they must face the material energy of the Lord, which ends finally in death. But those who do not neglect the teachings of Krishna, Krishna reciprocates by never neglecting them also. That is why he is known as Bhaktavatsa. If you read the purport, Prabhupada writes there, Krishna, the chastity of Kunti was manifested in her level of dependence. And based on her level of dependence of Krishna, Krishna reciprocated accordingly. So we cannot blame anyone if we are in difficulty, because it means we are not depending fully on Krishna. We are still holding on to the fact that I can still do something on my own. When everything ends, then I will turn to Krishna. Or I'll keep Krishna as my safety net, but I will settle everything first. Sometimes our mind tells us, why you trouble Krishna? You know, this is very pure. We don't trouble Krishna. We'll do everything and then after that we will see Krishna's help. But that is not how devotees behave. Kunti Mata was not asking from Krishna anything, but she was fully dependent on Krishna. Chetasaha sarva karmani mayi sanyasamat paraha buddhi yogam upashrita mat chitta satatam bhava. 1857 of Bhagavad Gita. Very nicely Krishna tells Arjuna, the only thing you have to do to achieve this unalloyed devotional service is start by depending on me. Those who depend on me, how? Through all your activities. The platform on which we depend on Krishna is through our activities. We cannot say, Krishna, I depend on you. Then, where's the action? Our action must show that we depend on Krishna. That is the point. Kunti Mata showed in her actions that she depended fully on Krishna. Uttara, who is also a member of the Pandava dynasty, when the Brahmashtra was coming, it was such a powerful weapon, She saw it coming from far. And Uttara, in Uttara's womb, what was there? There was the last survivor of the Kuru dynasty. Kuru, combined, Kauravas and Pandavas. They are considered as Kuru dynasty. The only last survivor was Parikshit. And even then, Ashwatthama wanted to kill that last survivor. Uttara Mata was standing in the company of the Pandavas. The Pandavas had just won the battle. They just won the battle. How much faith she should have in the Pandavas then? But instead of that, when she saw that the Brahmashtra was coming, Bhagavatam tells us, immediately she turned to Krishna. Krishna was also standing there, but Krishna was getting on the chariot because he was about to leave. At that point of time, the Brahmashtra was coming. And at that point of time, she didn't turn to her husband. I mean, she didn't turn to her protectors, the Pandavas. She instead turned to Krishna. And she said, Pahi Pahi Mahayogi Deva Deva Jagatpati. See, she turned to Krishna. And she says, Krishna, you are the greatest of all yogis. And you are the only one who can give me protection. This is unalloyed devotion service. This is chastity. Those who depend on Krishna fully for everything, every aspect of their life, then what happens is they are never neglected by Krishna. Ravana only depended on his prowess. Therefore, not only did he neglect Lord Ram, but Lord Ram also had to neglect him. When the monkeys were throwing the stones into the water, they wrote down the name of Lord Ram and the stones floated. When Lord Ram picked up the stone and he just threw it into the water, the stones went into the water. They sank into the water. And Hanumanji was asked by Lord Ram, how come when you throw the stones are alright? When I throw the stones go down. And Hanumanji said, when I threw the stone, I threw it on the strength of your name. When you threw the stone, you just threw it away. And anything which is thrown away from you, my Lord, has no chance. It will have to sink. Such a subtle but important point in Ramayana that we should not forget. That is why Prahlad Maharaj affirms this in his prayer of 7919. Those who are neglected by you, they cannot become improved. They cannot work towards their betterment. Just like a child who is sick cannot be saved by the parents, no matter how much the parents want to do. A parent who has so much money, you know, sometimes when children are sick, we give them the best doctors, best medicines, we go to Ayurveda, this Veda, that Veda, and with all the Vedas also the children, if they don't want to become well, they don't become well. Forget about allopathy. If they are not going to become well, they're just not going to become well. Because higher than all is Krishna. This is the point we have to understand. The second example Prahlad Maharaj gives is that a dying man cannot be saved even by the best physicians. That is so true. The best physicians may be employed, but when a man is going to die, he's going to die. Ayurveda tells there are only two kinds. Dharmatri says there are two kinds of disease. One disease you tolerate, it will go. The other disease you tolerate, it doesn't go, that means you have to go. There are only two kinds. Ayurveda starts with this stotra. Many people forget this and they jump into all the other medication, but they forget Dharmatri starts with this stotra. This stotra, if we forget, even Ayurveda cannot help us. Because this stotra tells us, Achyuta Govinda. Without the names of Krishna, then nothing can work. All the herbs in the world will not help you without the names of the Lord. This we must understand. That's why Prabhupada was often seeing the Kaviraj. Kaviraj would come give Prabhupada Ayurvedic medicine. Why? Because out of love of his disciples, he would agree. But after a while, he stopped there also. He didn't place any faith in any medicine ultimately. He only had faith in Krishna. There's a difference. There is a difference. Otherwise we get caught into this compartment again. And we think in the name of everything which is Vedic, we forget the main aim of Vedas is to know Krishna. And yet we get into a slipstream. This is very dangerous. So Dhanvantri says very nicely that there are only two kinds of disease. That disease you tolerate. Supposing you have a cough or a cold, you just tolerate it, after a few days it has to go, isn't it? Better still, you fast. Dharmantri also says, if you fast when you are not well, the disease has to go. Just like son-in-laws, you know. If you don't give them food and they come in your house, they sit down, you don't feed your son-in-law for a whole day, he will leave. He will leave. It's very simple. So disease and son-in-laws, they are on the same platform. That is why we say that if you are not well, don't eat. You just fast. And after fasting, the disease has to go. If the disease doesn't go, then you have to go. Those who are ready to go, they don't go. Those who can't go, don't want to go, they go. Kunti Mata was ready to go anytime. So she didn't go anywhere. She was always with Krishna. Duryodhan, he didn't want to go anywhere. But he had to leave finally, because he had to meet Yamaraj. This is the difference. This is chastity of devotional service. And that is why, in this verse, it is stated that no matter how great a position may be, he cannot save a dying man. And the last point that Prahlad Maharaj is saying here to Narsingadev is, what is the use of a boat in an ocean for a drowning man? Man, the man can't swim. So even if he sees a boat, he can't swim to the boat. That's just like, I see a boat, but I'm going to sink now. It is so frustrating, you know. Just think about it. There is a boat, but I don't know how to swim to it. What happens? You will drown. The boat is there, but you can't swim. So this is the point. What upekshitana? Without dependence on the mercy of the Lord, we cannot even move an inch. A devotee who accepts that, he or she becomes automatically chaste. And this is the point of the Kunti Mata. That is why it is stated in Sastras, Sarva Upadi Vinir Mukta. When one takes up devotional service, he takes it up in such a way, Tat Parat Vena Nirmalam. He takes up devotional service in such a way that devotional service has two side effects. One, that it frees us from all the Upadis. Upadis means designations. Even in devotional service, it is very easy to get caught up with designations. Temple president, temple commander, I see this, that, I'm in charge of that, I'm in charge of this, I'm the mother to this person, I'm the father of that person, right? Today is Lavini's birthday, we are the parents. These are all upadis. Upadis are natural in the material world. But if we get caught with them, then we will forget that there is only one designation for us. Our designation is to serve Krishna, glorify Krishna, and serve the Vaishnavas. If we have that upadhi, then what happens is Rishikesha, Rishikena, Rishikesha. Then our senses, which are always troubling us, they become automatically controlled. Otherwise, Ravana had so much of upadhis. He had so many designations that he was happy with. For him, Sita was another upadhi. If I have Sita, then my designation is that I am the conqueror of Rama. That was his thinking. Actually, not only did he want to conquer Sita because of his lust, but in his mind, if he conquered Sita, he has already conquered Rama. The best way to reach out to an enemy and to destroy him is to possess that which is valuable to him. This is upadhi. And because he was thinking that way, ultimately his senses were not controlled. And these senses were the ones that drove him to his destruction. Adanta Govir Vishatanta Vishnam. And instead of coming out of this, he became totally attached. But see, the devotees of the Lord, because they are chaste, they are dependent. So chastity starts with one formula. It starts with dependence. Chetasaha Sarva Karmani. Those who are really dependent on Krishna, Krishna tells Arjuna, very simple formula. In all your activities, you just depend on me. And what does Prabhupada say here? Don't depend. He says here, a chaste devotee does not look to others. Please don't look to others. Namely, other living beings, other devatas. We don't have to look to anyone. Sometimes you become frustrated. Why is so many bad things happening in Krishna consciousness? Maybe I should see an astrologer. Maybe the astrologer will tell me something. Maybe I have some Rahu or something that's happening, you know. Don't forget, Rahu is also under Krishna. Why? Because when Krishna was about to be born into this material world, in his spiritual transcendental form, the constellations were not in place. They were not. But the moment they heard Krishna was going to be born, whether it was Rahu, Ketu or anybody, they all lined up in order and made it auspicious. What does it tell us? It tells us that the moment you take up devotional service, which is not different from Krishna, then the planets don't affect us. The planets align with us. It is not the planets. It's not because of Rahu time that Kunti Mata suffered. There is nothing in Bhagavatam that says she suffered because the constellations were in different position. No. She suffered because they were children of Dharma. And those who are children of Dharma, it is their Dharma to suffer in this material world. Because the nature of the material world is suffering is there. You cannot escape it. But they did not feel the suffering. They only remembered Krishna. When Lord Ram went into the forest with Sita Mata, everyone thought they were suffering. But actually they were not. In fact, sometimes Lakshman was thinking that, I see that Sita Mata, Mother Sita and my Lord, they are enjoying more actually in the forest. Why? Because in kingdom, she did not have time with him. But she had so much time with him, you know, in the forest at that time. And when she was kidnapped and put in the forest of Ashoka, never in any moment in Ramayana do you find that Sita Mata was not remembering Lord Ram. And in her remembrance, there was full consciousness. So she was never away from her Lord. And that's why she told Ravana that the only reason you have kidnapped me is because I have become an instrument for your death. That's all. No other reason. There's no other reason. So a devotee's attitude is completely different when we do not pick up these upadis. This is an important point. And that is why we have to follow this. So dependence means we depend on Krishna through our activities. And those who depend on Krishna through activities, what happens to them? Machitta sadatam bhava. At all times they remember Krishna. And because they remember Krishna, machitta sarvadurgani. Whatever obstacles that you have in front of you, Krishna says in 1858, what happens? Matprasada karisyasi. By my mercy, by Krishna's mercy, all your obstacles, O Arjuna, you will cross over. This is the point. Not that there are no obstacles, but you will be able to cross over them. Obstacles are always there. But obstacles always increase your fitness, isn't it? Even in material world, doctor tells you, if your heart is not strong, he tells you to exert it. You think, wait a minute, if I exert my heart, I'll die of heart attack, isn't it? But we don't realize how much we're exerting our heart with all the ghee and all the other food. That exertion is alright. But the moment they tell you to walk, you think it's bad. But actually, even in spiritual world, when there is exertion of material energy on us through the difficulties, we actually become more conscious of Krishna. We do. Because when we are left to our own life and everything is fine, the truth is, we forget Krishna. We forget Krishna. So actually Krishna knows us better, because every father knows his child better. The child says, no, 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 I promise you I'll be a good person. But the father knows, no, the moment I don't put a stick in front of you, you will not study. You won't study. So the stick has to be in front and you study. What to do? So either we choose to follow the way of Krishna or we follow the stick of Krishna. Either way, it's up to us. Ravana did not, so he had to pay the price. All the great devotees of the Lord, Kunti Mata and the Pandavas, they followed. And ultimately, they achieved transcendental bliss wherever they were. It didn't matter to them. This is the point. And once we have dependence, then the second pillar of chastity comes, and that is considered faith. When we depend on Krishna, faith in Krishna is created. Sometimes people ask, how does one have faith? Faith comes from dependency. You just think about how a child creates faith in their parents. They create faith because the child depends on the parent. And when the parent reciprocates with the child, the faith increases. Have you noticed that? The more you take care of the child, the more you show the child that you are there because the child is depending on you, what happens? The child has more and more faith in you. So the more we depend on Krishna, the more Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal, the more he reciprocates with us. And the more he reciprocates with us, the more faith is created in our heart. It's a very simple process. And from faith, ultimately devotion will grow. So it is dependence, then faith, and then ultimately devotion. And once we have devotion, that devotion increases our dependence. That devotion increases our faith. And that faith increases our devotion. It is an ocean of ever increasing bliss. All three will help us to become chaste. And in fact, there are so many examples. The example we can give here before we conclude Bhagavatam is the example of Uttara. Because Uttara could have turned to, she could have turned easily to Pandavas. But she said, Pahi Pahi Mahayogi Deva Deva Jagatpati. And once she turned to Krishna, what happened? Krishna then had to get off the chariot. Because he knew now the Brahmashtra was coming. And he saw Brahmashtra as very, very powerful. Now, the Brahmashtra was coming so fast, Prabhu and Mataji's, that Bhagavatam tells us, even though the Pandavas were alerted by Uttara, even though they were preparing to get their weapons ready to counteract the Brahmashtra, Krishna made an adjustment in his head, transcendental brain, and he knew the Pandavas would not have time to counteract the Brahmashtra. And the Brahmashtra is not like the atomic weapons of today. Atomic weapons of today, they drop it somewhere, whole radius of 20, 30 kilometers, everybody dies, even though their intended target may be only one house. But Brahmashtra is so powerful that once it is shot, it only goes for the intended target. The intended target here was Parikshit Maharaj. So, immediately, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna was inclined to protect Parikshit Maharaj. Krishna made a decision there and then, I want to protect this devotee. See? Why? Because Parikshit Maharaj was too young to depend on Krishna. But his uncles, his mother, his grandmother, is it grandmother Kunti? Grandmother, Kunti. Is it great-grandmother? Okay, great-grandmother. Kunti. They were all praying to Krishna. So if you think carefully, this is the benefit of Sadhu Sangha. Even though Parikshit Maharaj was an unborn child in the womb, because of the great devotional service of Uttara, he developed devotion for Krishna even within the womb. And because even though he was in the womb and unborn, Krishna was also within the womb as Paramatma, protecting and giving shelter to Parikshit Maharaj. So when Parikshit Maharaj felt the heat of the Brahmashtra coming, Bhagavatam tells us that he sought shelter in the only personality that he knows. Like all unborn children seek shelter, he sought shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Pandavas were getting ready, and they thought they have to protect him. But Krishna was faster. He's antaryami. So even though he was standing in front, he went inside the heart of Parikshit Maharaj. And in the heart of Parikshit Maharaj, he gave him strength. And then he enveloped the womb of Uttara Mata to protect the embryo of the unborn child. And yet, he was all the time standing outside as the Supreme Personality of God. So inside a super soul, protecting with his effulgence, that is the second manifestation of Krishna, the womb. In the heart of Uttara Mata also, don't forget. In the heart of all the Pandavas also, don't forget. Also, in the heart of Ashwatthama who shot the Brahmashtra, don't forget that also. And in despite all that, he was still ready to protect this child. And when he protected the child, what did he do? He used Sudarshan Chakra. And technically speaking, Prabhu said, Mataji's Sudarshan Chakra is a weapon. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, just 2-3 purports before this, it's in the 13th verse. You should read the purport. In the purport, Prabhupada says, Krishna had taken the solemn vow of not using weapon in Mahabharata war, correct? And actually, as a charioteer, he never used it except one occasion. You all remember the famous occasion, Bhishma Dev. Right? He is known as Ratanga Pane. And we often always think that that was the only time Krishna broke his vow. But actually, in 1.8.13, Prabhupada highlights to us, Krishna broke his vow for the second time in the Mahabharata. And the second time happened here, when he took the Sudarshan Chakra and he protected the womb and he protected Parikshit Maharaj. When I read this purport many years ago, I thought, wait a minute, Mahabharata war ended. So he can use Sudarshan Chakra, what's the problem? Prabhupada must have read my mind. Because Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Mahabharata war was coming to an end, but it had not officially ended yet. No official ending yet. So technically speaking, Lord was bound by his vow. But Prabhupada writes in the purport, you know, so nicely, and I'll read to you. The Pandavas were 100% dependent on the protection of the Lord, although they were great warriors themselves. But the Lord neglects even the greatest warriors and also vanquishes them in no time. When the Lord saw that there was no time for the Pandavas to counteract the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, he took up his weapon even at the risk of breaking his own vow. Although the battle of Kurukshetra was almost finished, still, according to his vow, he should not have taken up his own weapon. But, this is nice, the emergency was more important than the vow. Full stop. Let's repeat that. But
the emergency
was more important,
was more important
than the vow. See the greatness of Krishna. And then Prabhupada says, he is better known as Bhaktavatsa, or the lover of his devotees. And thus, he preferred to continue as Bhaktavatsa than to be a worldly moralist who never breaks his solemn vow. This is the greatness of Krishna. If you depend on Krishna, then Krishna is prepared to do anything and everything and bend every rule that is in a book which he created for your deliverance. This is the message that Bhagavatam wants to give us. This is the message. This is why Bhaktavatsal means one who is very affectionate to his devotee. The word-to-word of Bhaktavatsal is one who is very affectionate to his devotee. You remember Shabari in Ramayana, isn't it? You remember that she was a very old lady with a stick, you know. But many years ago, she was a very young woman, a tribal princess from the Nishada clan. And Ramayana tells us that she was going to be given in marriage because her father was a great chieftain. But on the day of the marriage, because Nishada clan, you know, their practices a little bit raw, you know, if I may say so. So, as part of the marriage, they were going to sacrifice thousands of chickens and goats. And when she saw that, on account of me getting married, all these animals are going to lose their life, driven by compassion, she ran away, refused to get married, and ran very far away from the mountains and went to the mountains of Rishi Mukhya. And there she met that Rishi Matanga. And there she accepted him as spiritual master and served him. And at the point when he was going to leave his body, because of a great service and devotion to him, he gave her the benediction that you will leave your body only after taking darshan of Lord Ram himself. So she thought, when will that day come? And she patiently waited. While Rishi Matanga left, she served all her god brothers. And they also left, because they were all getting old. And she was very old. But every day she did not think, why Krishna, why Lord Ram, you're not here, why you're making me wait so long. She didn't curse. She thought, every day the Lord is making me wait so that I can increase my dependence on him. Like that she was thinking. So every day with a stick she would go out to the forest, she would pluck berries, you know. And to know whether the berries were sweet or not, she would taste them. And after tasting them, she said, this one is sweet. Then she will keep it aside because she said, in case today Lord Ram comes, I will give him the sweet berry. So the day finally came when Lord Ram came through that area, because he was on the way to go and find Sugriva. And as he was going there, he came to the ashram. And though Ramayana tells us that there were so many opportunities to see so many other great saintly personalities, he and Lakshman came right to the hermitage of this great elderly lady. When she came out and saw Lord Ram, despite all her difficulty, she just fell flat at the lotus feet of the Lord. And then she said, Lord, you have come from far, I have something to offer you. She sat down Lord Ram and Lakshman, and then she said, these are berries that I have tasted. They are very, very good. Please take them. Lakshman said, Lord, just to inform you, she's already tasted it. It's not Mahaprasad. You know, Lakshman was trying to tell him in a polite way, you know. But Lord Ram just dismissed it. Why? Because he's Bhaktavatsa. He was not a solemn moralist. Hey, this cannot, we can't do this. This is not according to Shastra. This is not according to injunctions. The Lord, we need to follow injunctions. But the Lord doesn't need to. He's the one who made the injunctions. If he is bound by injunctions, injunctions should become supreme personality of Godhead. But he is supreme because he can override anything for the love of his devotees. This is the greatness of Ram. So Ram said,
It is so relishable. I've never eaten berries like this before. You know? And she became so happy. She offered it to Lakshmana. Lakshmana said no. He doesn't want it. But that was Lakshmana's mood. But she was depending on Lord Ram. And after she gave him that, he asked her, where did you get these berries from? And you serve them in this beautiful plate of leaves, you know, that looks very nice. And she pointed, this is the tree that I've taken it from. And like that, Lord Ram spoke very simply and very lovingly with this devotee who waited years and years and years for him. But in chastity, unalloyed, never thinking, oh, now we should do something else, I should plan something. No, just fully dependent on Lord Ram. And he came. He came. And when he came, then she asked him for one boon. That, my Lord, with your permission, can I now cast off this material body? Because this body now has run its length. The expiry is due. And besides being expiring, it has also met its true purpose of life. Because this body has been an instrument to see you. If I did not have this vehicle, my Lord, I cannot give you these berries. So Lord Ram said, you have correctly understood transcendental knowledge, and therefore now you please go back. And doing that, she immediately cast off her material body, and she went back. Why we understand this point is because we should not get mixed up in our devotional service. Devotional service means simply depending on Krishna and not any other person. If we are in the net, those persons are also in the net. You can't turn to the person in the net and say, free me. He doesn't know how to get out of the net. How can he free you? This is very important. But we should turn to one who is freed. They are our spiritual masters. They are the pure devotees. And they are the Supreme Lord Himself. That is why Kunti Mata ends so nicely by saying this point. Prabhupada says here that such a chaste devotee will never ask the Lord for help. But the Lord, out of His own accord, is always anxious to render it. This is the meaning. Bharat had every opportunity to take over Lord Ram's kingdom, isn't it? Think about it. The moment Lord Ram was exiled, Bharat should have taken over the kingdom. But instead, he renounced it. He renounced it. And he only took care of the kingdom as a proxy. He ruled in the name of Lord Ram. If you read Ramayana, you know that every day he would put a report to Lord Ram's slippers. And then after that, he would fan the with Chamara Lord Ram's slippers, because the Lord was there for him. He did not wear any opulent dress for the 14 years that his Lord did not wear any opulent dress. He wore the skin and bark of trees, and he matted his hair. If Ravana had been in Bharat's position, and Lord Ram had gone 14 years in exile, he would have jumped and said, this is a free load, man. I'm getting Ayodhya as a complete package. Now I have Sita, I have Ayodhya, what else do I need? But Ravana was not given anything. He stole it. Bharat was given everything, but he denied it. Why? Because he was dependent on the Lord. When we are dependent on the Lord, we don't need anything. Everything comes to us. And if it doesn't come, it doesn't matter. Why are we worried? That means it's not meant for me. If it's meant for me, whatever which way, it's going to come. We don't have to worry. Those who are not worried, they become free with their time to remember Krishna. But those who are always worried, half the time is wasted in worry. And half the time is forgotten about Krishna. This is important. And Prabhu Smatajis, this is the true meaning of Varnashrama. Varna and ashram. It doesn't matter in what ashram we are in. But our ashram is always to be dependent on Krishna. I want to end by sharing with you this very, very nice point that Prabhupada brought up on Varnashrama. It was brought up recently in the meetings also by many, many of our leaders. And actually, it is an episode which is found and written by His Grace Bhakti Gauravani Goswami. He is a disciple of Prabhupada. He used to be Vedavyas Das, and he has written a very nice account of Srila Prabhupada actually preaching in Germany. Let's read this to understand what Prabhupada is trying to make us understand about dependence on Krishna and chastity. I'll read it. You can also read it as you're reading it, but I will read it for everyone. But it proved difficult for Hansadutta to cut back record distribution. In other words, at that time, Hansadutta was a great, powerful preacher in Germany. And he was using the selling of records, you know, as funding for the food relief. A major part of the collections came from these sales. During the annual Mayapur festival in March, however, he had come up with a scheme to multiply the income beyond all expectations. Srila Prabhupada had told the managers of the Mayapur temple that no one within a 10-mile radius should go hungry. Thus, ISKCON Food Relief was born, and the devotees were now feeding many thousands of people each month. Hansadutta had had pictures taken of the devotees holding Indian children. And back in Schloss Rettershof, he designed an ad for the German bag to Gotthard. People were asked to contribute 5 or 10 marks, which would feed 50 or 100 people. Later, the devotees developed the slogan. This is in German, but it says, with 5 marks, you're part of it. Hansadutta eventually sent $20,000 to construct the food distribution pavilion in Mayapur, but that was only a drop in the bucket compared to the total collection. Hansadutta had other plans besides printing books and purchasing the schloss. He planned to buy a remote farm and develop a self-sufficient community based on the Varnashrama system. He feared a world war and economic chaos in the near future and wanted to be prepared. When Srila Prabhupada sensed that Hansadutta was diverting too much attention in this direction, he cautioned. Srila Prabhupada said, and now we read what Prabhupada says. Yes, we must invest our money in books and land, but there will be no collapse as you have anticipated. Everything will be adjusted by the grace of Krishna. From my own experience, I have seen when first class rice was selling at 8 MPs, what the most? Per kilogram. Now that is being sold at 8 rupees. That means it is 64 times higher. But still people are eating. And the man who lives in care of the footpath, he is also eating. So the man in care of the footpath and the man on the 30th floor of the skyscraper, they are living. And still the inflation is going on. Man-made laws cannot work any rupture in Krishna's plan. Better let us remain now under Krishna's shelter, fully dependent, and we shall remain unaffected by all the man-made difficulties. Farm opening is not very essential, but if you can do it conveniently, then do it. The Varnashrama system is for convenience sake in the material world. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. Acceptance of Varnashrama means a little easy progress to spiritual life. Otherwise, it has no importance to us. For example, all my European and American disciples have no Varnashrama position, but spiritually, because they have followed the rules and regulations and also my instructions, their advancement spiritually is being appreciated by everyone. Always remember that Varnashrama life is a good program for material life. And it helps one in spiritual life, but spiritual life is not dependent upon it. Srila Prabhupada is very clear. Kunti Mata and all the great Bhagavatas are very clear. We should depend on the process, because the process is non-different from Krishna. Whatever that comes, let us be prepared to take it. Let us not flinch when someone casts something on us. In that way, on the platform of all our services, Krishna is Bhaktavatsal. He is ready to bend anything so that somehow or another he will always reciprocate to us. Jai Vrindra Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Sri Prabhupada. Jai Sri Gurudev. Jai Gaurav.
Jai Jai.